I know that our brother has prepared a message for us this evening, and I'd ask each one of us that we'd open our hearts and our minds to these words that he has for us and how they apply in our lives. And I ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our pastor, Bob Hedrick.
Thank you, Dwayne. Good evening, everyone. I do appreciate your prayers, as always. I have a message I'd like to give you tonight. Talking about French fries and manure and all kinds of stuff, but I'm getting kind of ahead of myself. Andrew was asking if we're going to do any math tonight, and well, last time we did addition, and we're going to do multiplication this time, but I already did it. I'm just going to give you the answers, so you don't have to worry about it, okay? Because I know some of you guys got math anxiety and don't want anybody to be anxious here. But I do have some thoughts, and hopefully I'll be able to, something will be able to sink in. That's the hope of all of us that stand up here, is that I'm not here to entertain you. I'm trying to edify you, that something, some pearl will click with you and be able, you'll be able to take it and apply it in your life. Well, I'd like to read for a scripture to start off with in the 25th chapter of Matthew, and I'm gonna read a bunch, and then we're talk about it a bit. And this is something that we've all read before, and it's nothing new, but I'd like to rehearse this parable. I'm going to read the parable of the talents, and a parable is a fictional story about real life, but has a broader meaning that illustrates a point, and so that's what this parable that Christ is talking about. Is broader, that he uses a small story to illustrate a bigger point. And that's hopefully what we're going to accomplish tonight. I'm going to start with the 14th verse, and Christ speaking. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord whose servants cometh, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him that hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath been given, everyone that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundant, blah, blah, blah. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast to the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Okay, we've all heard this story before. But I hope to be able to illustrate some points out of this that we can apply in our lives. This is a parable. It's a story, and it's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And so we can understand that God is the Lord, the master that he's talking about. God is the man that's traveling in a far country. But I want you to take some careful notice of some things in this. He called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods. So this guy, he's going to go on a journey. And he gives, he says, here, take care of this while I'm gone. And he gives him an X amount of money. Okay? Two things. He said, I'm going to be leaving for a while, but what can we determine from that? We know he's coming back. Okay? And these are his servants. Back then, they were called stewards. And stewards weren't the ones, the guy airplane people who gave you drinks or a big orange drink or whatever. It's the steward was the one that was in charge of the home. That would make sure that the land was being taken care of, it was being cultivated. He was the one that would make sure if there was people that were renting from him, that the rent was being collected. The steward was like the butler. He managed the home. The master of the house, he had other things to do. But the steward was kind of like middle management. He had a boss that he was working for, but at the same time he was given authority over a certain amount of things. And this is what he's talking about. He's calling in his steward, saying, okay, this, I want you to take care of that, and I want you to take care of that, and I want you to take care of that. Okay? And each of those things, he gave his own things to this steward. All right? It wasn't that the steward automatically had five talents. The Lord gave that steward his talents. It was the Lord's talents. It was the boss's money that he gave, and he gave it to him. Okay? And he gave it to him with a purpose, and he gave him a job. He says, here, take care of this. I'm going to Tahiti for a vacation. Okay, you take care of this. All right? And it goes on to say that one of these guys gets five talents, another two, and another one. And a talent is a weight. That's the way they measure money. And this is when the math comes in, by the way, if all of you get scared. Is that a big glare on everybody, or is it okay? A talent is 75 pounds. Okay? According to the price of gold on Friday, this is how much a talent is. Can you read that? $500,000. So when the boss is giving this money to these stewards, saying, here, take care of this, it's not like, here's my pocket change, take care of my pocket change. He's giving them $500,000. It's a significant amount. All right? Can you imagine somebody giving you $500,000? I can almost guarantee everyone in here will make $500,000 in their lifetime, easy. We don't get it all as one lump sum when you turn 21. We'd waste it. Instead, we get it little bit by little bit by little bit, and we waste it then. But that's another sermon altogether. Okay? But this is just one talent. Okay? So that's what the guy that got one talent. So if you figure the guy that got two talents, he got 1.12... And the guy that got five talents. See, I did the multiplication so you guys wouldn't have to. That guy that got five talents got 2.8. They say, the scholars which are people that sit and study things and then tell us what it means, say that a talent was roughly equivalent to 15 years of work. Okay? And, you know, at $500,000, if you make $33,000 a year for 15 years, that's $500,000. And most people work 25 to 30. Okay? So these numbers are not beyond reality. It's just we don't expect it, we just don't see it that big of numbers, you know, all at once. We see what our paycheck is, and we see what Uncle Sam takes, and we see what everything else. We see what's left after everything else. Okay? So, and he says, you know, he gives it according to their ability. You know, some people have better jobs than others. That's all it is. All right? But the whole thing is, he distributes all this wealth to these guys, these three guys, and is saying, take care of this while I'm gone. And then he took his journey. Okay? And these guys' job was, as stewards, was to take care of it. All right? That they had to, you know, invest it. They had to, you know, they would have to make improvements to the property. They had different, you know, they were in charge of this amount of money, this talent, this item. And it was their job. It's like, okay, you're in charge of this division at work. You make it work. Okay? And that purpose of that division is to make more money. That was their job. And we see that the guys that got the five talents and the two talents, they went out and did their job. But the one that received one talent went and digged in the earth. And remember, in the 18th verse it says, remember, he hid his Lord's money. Remember, he's not talking about his own money. He hid his Lord's money. All right? And after the long journey, whenever the boss got back from Tahiti, all suntanned, that after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. You ever heard the day of reckoning? Yeah, this is what it's talking about. Okay? Each one of these guys that had this cash knew that the boss was going to come back sometime. Okay? And to reckon is to count. They had to open the books and they had to sit down with the boss in a room, and the boss would say, okay, you know, this is what I gave you. And you'd have to open the books up and say, well, I spent this amount of money on this and this and this, and then I got interest off this, and I sold this part here, and I bought this other, and I invested that money in this, and you know, we had a good crop on our widgets this year, and we built a new machinery to make widgets instead, and whatever. The whole idea is that there was a time when they had to open the books and be accountable for not just this amount, okay, but what did you do with it? And they had to show what they did with it. All right? So, the guy that the rest of the story is that the guy that had five talents said, or the $2.8 million said, hey, you know, while you've been gone, I've been busy, I've been working, I've been able to make, not, you know, I took that $2.8 million and now it's $5.6 million. All right, that's my kind of, you know, I want him to work for me. Okay, and the same guy with the $1.1 million, you know. He went out and did his job. Okay? But what about the guy that had that only had $500,000? The 24th verse says, and then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gatherest where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. Remember that $500,000 you gave me? Well, you know, I knew that you were a tough guy and that you were a strict and authoritarian. Or I don't know if that's a good word, but you know, he commanded respect. And, you know, I was afraid. And I didn't want to lose it, so I just kept it. Here it is. Okay. What was these guys' jobs? Was their job to, you know, when the steward, when the Lord said, here, take care of this, I'm going on a journey, it was to take care of it. All right? That was their job, to invest it, to work, to use it, to get gain. That was their job. And this steward is saying, you know, I'm afraid I might lose it, so I'm not going to do anything with it. And the Lord says, you know, you knew that I am strict. You know, if you had lost it all, but if you had been doing what I asked you to do, though, that would be something different. But you didn't do what you were supposed to do. You didn't do your job. You took that I gave you and just kept it to yourself. Okay? He's saying, you didn't even put it in the bank. He didn't even, so I couldn't even get interest off the bank. You know, a bank gets 3% or so. You didn't even do that. You just kept it and didn't use it. He didn't do his job. So how does that apply to us? We are all stewards. We are all servants. Okay? And this is a parable. It's talking about a real life example to illustrate another point. Okay? Ask yourself, what has God given you? What's he given you? Here, take care of this. I'm coming back for it later. Does he give you your money? Does he give you a job? Yeah. He gives you money. He gives you a job. Does anybody have a body here? Or are we all just spirits? No, he's given us a physical body. What else has he given us? Huh? Talent. Thank goodness somebody was listening. Gifts and talents. And this means the ability to do things, not necessarily a weight. He gives us weight too, but that's another story. We're not going down that path. About our family. Give us our family. About our time. You know, we could sit up here all day and make a huge list of everything that God's given us. Okay? But remember, we're stewards. And what did those stewards know when the Lord gave them the money and took off to Tahiti? He was coming back. And what was going to happen when he came back? The day of reckoning. The day where you sit down at the table and open the books. Okay? Let's look at that. Money. Important concept that we have to understand. In this parable, whose money was it? The Lord's. It never belonged to the stewards. The money that the Lord gives us, that He gives us the opportunity to earn, is not ours. It is not ours. It is what the Lord has given us. Okay? And since it is not ours, He's going to come back and say, okay, I gave you over the course of your life, pick a number, $2 million. What did you do with it? Well, spent about $1 million in gas. Another couple hundred thousand for a house. Is that acceptable? I think so. What else does it expect us to do with our money? Tithing. Yeah. Expects us to, hey, French fries. When I was young, when I was 12, I lived with my cousin Donnie Case. I don't know if you guys knew that or not, but I did. That's probably why I turned out the way I am. I don't know. But so you can blame him next time you see him. But we, you know, I stayed at his house for summers. And Nathan Case was about as old as Aiden. He was about this big when I first started going there. Now, Nathan Case is up here now, but that's... Everybody else is getting older, not me. But one of the first words that Nathan could speak, it was a riot. You know, he said mama and dada and everything else. But every time we'd pass the Golden Arches, fries? Without fail, didn't matter what time of day, whether he was hungry or not, didn't no matter what town you were in, whether he recognized the Golden Arches, and immediately, fries? So picture a little boy like that, but maybe a little bit older, like Travis's age, maybe. 5, 6. And the dad knows that little Jimmy, not that little Jimmy, but a little Jimmy, likes fries. Oh, he loves French fries. He loves McDonald's French fries. And he says, you know what? I'm feeling generous. Let's go to McDonald's and get some fries. What's Jimmy's going to do? Oh, no, thanks, Dad. No, Jimmy's going to jump all over that. He's going to be, you know, you guys that are parents, you know, how hard is it to get your kids in the vehicle and get them seatbelted and everything else? Jimmy's going to be in the car, seatbelted and ready to go, you know, before you get to find the car keys. So they go to McDonald's, they go up to the counter there, and Dad's feeling really generous. He says, hey, you know what? Supersize that. Oh, Jimmy is in heaven. I mean, he can smell them cooking. And and his mind is just going crazy because he loved French fries. And now he pays for them. They take him down to the table and you know, they say a blessing. And the blessing is, dear God, thank God for fries. Amen. Because he was so, you know, it was one of those quickie prayers just to so that you could say you said a prayer and then eat the French fries. And he dug in. You know, like you can imagine, you know, a 5, 6-year-old kid that eating French fries. And Dad was sitting back, you know, yeah, that's you know, he wanted to give him pleasure. Yeah, I want to do something nice for the kid. Dad reaches over to get a couple fries. Jimmy goes, those are my fries. How does Dad feel? Hey, wait a minute, Junior. Who bought those fries? I did. You know, and it's not a matter of, you know, if he wanted fries, he could go up to the counter, he could buy more fries. That's not the point. He could go to the counter and buy so many fries that Jimmy has high cholesterol and dies in the parking lot from heart disease. It's not a matter of the fries. It was, where was Jimmy's heart? You know, Jimmy took this gift of fries and said, those are my fries. But is that what we do with our money? Here, you know, the Lord says, you know what? Here's a decent job. We'll get to the job later. And you know, and here's your salary for this job. Oh, and by the way, you know, we need to pay your tithing and make gifts and pay, you know, a little bit for Sunday school or the local fund or whatever. That's my money. And God says, what? Wait a minute. Now, does God need the money? Does Dad need the French fries? No. But it's our heart to recognize, and that's one of the, if you don't get anything else out of this, is that we don't own anything. It's not ours. I'm getting long, and I got a lot more to cover. But what are we supposed to do with our money? Turn it over into Jacob. Common scriptures that I've read before many times, I'm sure. 22nd verse of the second chapter. It's on page 170. It says, think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all, and free with your substance, that they may be rich like unto you. But before you seek for riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God. And after you have obtained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches if you seek them. And you will seek them for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked, and to feed the hungry, and to liberate the captive, and to minister relief to the sick and the afflicted. You know, and the same thing is in Mosiah. You know, I could read that one too, but I don't, you know, I got other things I want to cover. But it's the same thing. Is, you know, it's not yours. God gave it to you in the first place. So you have to, you know, recognize that, remember, every dollar that goes in your pocket, you gotta reckon with God at the end of the day when He comes back. Well, what did you do with it? I don't think it's a sin to go get a Diet Coke with a dollar. I'm not saying that. But you're going to have to be accountable if you spent, you know, all of your money on yourself. Not that when there were people that had needs or whatever that you didn't help. When the church needed to, you know, to send a missionary to, I don't know, pick a country. And they couldn't do it because they didn't have enough money. You know, the Lord, it's the Lord's work. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our fries. But He expects it. It's a commandment. You know, it's the same thing. You know, those servants had a job. It was their job to take care of the money. It's our job to handle our finances the right way, and that's including paying tithing and giving different offerings. Okay? That is our responsibility. All right. Because the way I think about it is money is like manure. You guys from Sunday school can turn off the ears for a little bit. You heard this part of the sermon already. Money is manure. Well, think about it. What happens if you have a big pile of manure right in the middle of everything? What does it do? It stinks. Has anybody driven by a dairy farm? The amount of manure that is produced at a dairy farm or a pig factory anymore, a pig farm, is stratospheric. It is huge. And it's a big pile of manure. But what else do you do with manure? Farmers, they take that manure, they put it in the manure spreader, and they pull it behind the tractor. And the manure spreader throws that manure out the back of the trailer, all over the field. And then they come by with a disc, and they disc that manure into the ground. And it fertilizes the soil, and they come by with the seeds for the next year, and it grows. And money is like that. If you know, I always think of Ebenezer Scrooge, and he's sitting at his desk, and he's got these big piles of gold coins, just liking to look at it and count it. And when you're like that with money, it just sits there and stinks because it's not doing anything. But when we're talking about here in Mosiah being familiar with all and imparting our substance, we're taking what we have and sharing it. And we're blessing other people's lives. You know, whether it's the people in the hurricane or if it's some natural disaster somewhere, whether it's our brothers and sisters in some foreign country that's in far more poverty than we are. Those are all, I mean, there's a myriad of different places where our money can go that would be beneficial. Okay? But what happens if I have $10,000 and I give that $10,000 to 1,000 people? What have I done? I've given everybody $10. Have I helped them? Not really. What have I done to myself? Now I'm one of the poor ones. Now I'm the one asking for the money. That's the thing there in Mosiah. It says everything has to be done with wisdom. It has to be done with wisdom. So that's got to be part of the reckoning. What's the next one? The job? Okay, let's look at our job. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Turn over real quick as well to Titus chapter 2. Titus is after Timothy. Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, to please them in all things, please them well in all things, not answering again, not talking back, not purloining, not being lazy, being idle, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. You know, God has given us this job. It may be at Circle K, or it may be flipping burgers, but God has given you the job. Okay? And you know what? With the money, remember the money thing? How you say, okay, you're going to make X amount of dollars, and there's going to be a reckoning. He's going to open those books and say, okay, now, this is what I gave you. What did you do with it? Well, it's the same thing with the job. This is something that is all aspects of our life. Well, I gave you that job. Okay, what'd you do with it? Did the people that worked there know that you were a Christian? Did you bless their lives by your presence? Did you display a positive attitude? Were you a good employee? Those are all things that we come back to our reckoning. Were you doing the job that God told you to do? God may place you in a place to be an example to somebody else. And I know that there are many out there who are looking for better jobs. And I'm not saying don't do that. But I'm saying pray about it, and the Lord will put you where He wants you to serve Him. Because whatever job you have, you know, these stewards, you know, they had a job of managing this amount of money. But what was their ultimate job? Their ultimate job was working for the boss. That's still our ultimate job. Okay? We may be working at McDonald's making French fries for Jimmy. Okay? But we can glorify God in that place. We serve God when we do our job right. When we do our job well. When we do our best. That is serving God. That's being a good steward of that job. What's next? Our physical body. All righty. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6. Familiar scripture, I'm sure. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Same deal. You know, the money thing? Remember, it wasn't the steward's money. It was God's money that He gave them to take care of. Okay? This body is not yours. God gave it to you. Okay? And there's going to be a reckoning, an accountability. He's come back saying, okay, what did you do with that body? Did you abuse it with chemicals? Did you draw on it? You know, it's in everything of our life, there's going to be a reckoning that say, okay, I gave you this, what did you do with it? How did you serve God with that? You know, I gave you great strength. Did you use that strength to help other people? I gave you a mind to think. Did you use your mind to think of ways to serve other people? Or did you use your mental capacities for your own selfish pleasures, your own selfish reasons? We're going to be held accountable for what we do with this body. Trying to take care of it so that it lasts a long time. As long as we're here. Gifts and talents. First Corinthians chapter 12. I don't know if I'm going to read the whole thing or not. The gifts of the Spirit. And I'll start with the fourth verse. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And then it lists some of these gifts that God gives to people. You know, it's some of them are wisdom, and some of them are knowledge, some of them. You know, some people have a gift to play music. Some people have a gift of faith. Some people have a gift with managing money. Some people have a gift of science, of math, that they can develop and use. And they have a talent. something that they worked hard at to develop. You know, I don't think Kathy was born playing the piano. Betty may prove me wrong, but I think she was a little bit, you know, could at least walk and talk before she started playing the piano. But, you know, anybody can develop a talent through hard work. Okay? But the same thing. At the end of, when the Lord comes back from His journey, there's going to be a reckoning. So I gave you the ability to learn such. You know, why didn't you, or if you did, why didn't you use it for My glory? I gave you a gift of music. You know, why did you become a rock star? Why did you bring people down instead of bring people up? The same thing that we're going to be held accountable, that these stewards were held accountable for everything they did, we are held accountable. There will be a reckoning. What's the next one? Family. 1 Timothy 5:8. says, But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We have a responsibility as parents to provide for our children. Provide a roof over their head and food and clothing. And if we don't do it, we're disobeying God. Okay? And we have a responsibility to our grandchildren. And our nephews and our nieces, because it's more than physical things. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's not just fathers. It's parents. It's grandparents. It's uncles and aunts. Okay? Remember with the stewards, and the Lord came back, and they opened the books, and they said, Okay, I gave you $2.8 million. What'd you do with it? And I said, well, I spent it here and I invested here. Okay, now imagine what he's going to say. I gave you 3 lives to raise. 3 souls. Or 2 or 10 or however many kids or grandkids or nieces and nephews you got. I gave them to you to raise. I gave them to you to nurture, to teach. Feeling the weight yet, Tim? I see that. He has given us these little humans and said, okay, nurture them, teach them, train them. Okay? And what happens if we come back and he comes back and says, you know, here, you gave me these 3 kids, but, you know, they were rotten. And so they're out running around somewhere. Wait a minute. You know, there's a time when they make their own decisions. But there's a time when we as parents can impact their life. And he's going to come back and say, you know, what did you teach them? What did we learn? Did you give them the best opportunity to know me? Did you give them the best opportunity to walk with God? There's an age when they make their own decisions. And we got them till that age. And we're going to be held accountable for what we teach them up to that point. Okay? Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Everybody's heard that one before, but it's true. And it's a commandment. It's your J-O-B as a parent to train up that child. Okay? Oh, last but not least, our time. And I'm rapidly running out of it. But I think that time is our most valuable gift. However many days we have. You know, if you think about, you know, we can think of money in the span of, okay, you know, like the one servant got, you know, $500,000, and the other servant got $1.1 million, and we can think of it that way. But if you think about it as this is a gift of time, and this person has 20 years, and this person has 40 years, and this person has 80 years, we all have different lengths of time, and we never know how many talents we got at the beginning. Okay? But let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'll just start with the first verse. Read for a while. It says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, and yourselves likewise with the same mind, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God." There comes a time in our life when we make a conscious decision that we're going to serve God, and we're going to enter those waters of baptism, and we're making a covenant with Him. And this is what we're saying, is that we no longer live the rest of our time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead?" Who is ready to judge the quick and the dead? The Lord. And we're going to have to bring an account to Him. "For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead." That are dead to eternal life, that are in the middle of captivity and are dead spiritually and don't even know it. "That they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." Tenth verse, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Okay. With the money and the stewards, there was a time when they opened the books and they said, "Okay, you had $2.8 million, what did you do with it?" There will be a time when they open the books in front of God and God said, "I gave you 80 years. I gave you 53 years, 10 months, and 26 days. What did you do with them?" And you got to say, well, for the first year, I didn't do much. In the second year, I didn't do much, but I was starting to babble some. But there's going to be a time when we say, okay, you know, I spent 20 years of my life sleeping. You know, if you add up all the nights in your life, you know, well, there's 7 days in a week. That's man, I was gonna knew I was gonna get math in here somewhere. $148 in a week. You're shaking your head, no. What did I do? Got 168 hours in a week. Okay, let's say you sleep 8 hours a night. That's 8 times. That's 56. So now we're down to 102. You got 102 hours now. And okay, we spent, was it 3 hours in church this morning? An hour and a half at night. We'll be generous, call it 5 hours today in church, and 6 hours maybe for, you know, I don't know, on Wednesday maybe 6 hours. That still leaves us with, gosh, 96 hours. Well, you got to work 8 hours or whatever. You got, or 40 hours in that week. You got other responsibilities. Yeah, our time gets taken up with this and with that, but recognize that there will be an accounting. Okay? If you think about it, if you even have 102 hours that are yours to do with, what about tithing? Do we tithe our time? Is it reasonable to say, hey, 10 hours a week I should be doing something for God? Whether that's spending a half an hour reading the scriptures. You know, whatever it is during the week. There will be a time when we stand before our God and He opens the books and says, I gave you X number of hours, X number of days, X number of years. What did you do with them? Well, I spent a good 10 years in traffic going back and forth to work. I spent another 10 years of my life playing Xbox. I spent another 10 years of my life reading books. Sorry, Jenny. Yeah, are all those things evil? No. But recognize that we'll be held accountable for what we have done. What we do with this time we have on this earth. And God's just asking for a few French fries back. It's not our life. It's not our time. It's God's. Everything is God's. Alma in the 16th chapter, it talks about, you know, I'm not going to turn to it because we're running out of time, but that, you know, this time was prepared for us as a probationary time, a preparatory place. The whole purpose of our time here is to get ready for the reckoning. It's to get ready for this, for our boss that went to Tahiti. We're waiting for him to come back. That's what this life is. And recognize that. That nothing that we have is ours. Not our money, not our possessions, not our families. You know, my children are not mine. They are mine to raise. But they're God's gift to me that I'm supposed to be taken care of. All of these things are not mine. They are God's, and I have to treat them accordingly as a steward. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Simple verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. when the Lord came back from his journey and they had the guys with the talents had to come make a reckoning, the Lord expected them to be faithful and do what he asked them to do. That was their job. Okay? When we stand before God, he expects us to be faithful because we are stewards of everything he's given us. And we'll have to be held accountable for that. We are not created for our own pleasure. We are not created for our own likes and dislikes. Last scripture is in Revelations. Chapter 4. And the 11th verse says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." We were created for the pleasure of God. We were created for with the sole purpose that we could live our life in such a way that we could spend eternity with him. That gives him pleasure. That is his, you know, that was the dad's desire taking Jimmy to McDonald's for French fries. It gave the dad pleasure to buy French fries for Jimmy. Okay? But what happened to dad when Jimmy was not, when Jimmy acted like a 5-year-old? Okay? We are not our own. We are not in charge of our own life. We are God's and we are created for his pleasure. And I thank you for your time.